Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
The Guadalupanas from St. Teresa Parish, 1302 Lantana Street in Corpus Christi, invite everyone to celebrate Mass with them on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Wednesday, December 12th at 6 p.m. Mass will be preceded by praying the rosary at 5:30 at the Grotto of Our Lady of Guadalupe on the grounds of St. Teresa's Church. They will then host a reception in the parish hall following Holy Mass. For more information, please call Irma Rodriguez, 361-774-6660.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this Sunday
morning?
Good,
here we are again.
Yes.
The second Sunday of Advent, and so I hope everyone is rejoicing always and preparing ourselves for the celebration of Christmas and for the second coming.
Yes, definitely. So our Gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His Word.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke in the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this reading during the second Sunday of Advent, we really begin to see the importance of the role of John the Baptist.
Yes, we do. And I think, you know, it would be helpful maybe to go back to the first part of the gospel where we see all these names, and the listeners didn't hear you, but I'm sure it's nothing new when people ask, how do you pronounce all these names, or did you have a class to pronounce all these names? And when I was in a parish and people would ask me to pronounce these or help them, and they would get all nervous, and maybe I was a little cynical, but I said, you know, nobody else in the audience knows how to pronounce them either. So even if you mess them up, don't worry, they won't know the difference. But these are certainly names that we're not familiar with in our day-to-day conversation. But so it'd be good to look at these first names. We have Tiberius Caesar, who was emperor in Rome and had conquered that part of the world and had placed Pontius Pilate as governor of Judea. So Pontius Pilate comes in as kind of the representative, the head representative for Rome in the area. But then you also have what are called tetrarchs. These are sub-people from the land who are rulers of different parts of the conquered land. So, you know, they have still have some power, but it's always answerable to Pontius Pilate in this case, and ultimately to Tiberius Caesar. So there you have Philip and Lysanias and Herod as tetrarchs of those times. So it's just interesting that St. Luke would start off with this kind of chart of people who were there at the time, and even the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, which we know show up again in the Passion of Jesus when they're taken to the house of Caiaphas, when he's taken before Caiaphas. So this is kind of the legal structure of the area of Jesus. What's interesting, why I say all of that, is because when you go down to what John the Baptist proclaimed, when someone important, so let's say, for example, had Caesar come to visit, what would you do? What would they do? They would have straightened out the roads, filled in the potholes, cleaned up the land, you know, prepare the way of type for Caesar.
An important visitor was coming.
An important visitor was coming. And so all these people were sent ahead to make sure everything is cleaned up, everything's ready. And so that's a contrast then to what John the Baptist is going to do. John the Baptist is coming in, and he's also crying out, but he's crying out from the desert. He's crying out in a way to make prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. In other words, the way will be made smooth for you, and you need to prepare yourself for that. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. So what is this preparation that John is calling for in order for Jesus to come in and to enter into people's lives and to really make their path straight, the mountains low and the valleys filled in? We see that in the paragraph before, that John the Baptist proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So even though we don't call Advent a season of repentance, repentance is a part of our life. Repentance is always there. It's just because we wear violet vestments both in Advent and Lent time does not specifically make this a repentant time. Certainly it's a part of this because it's part of preparation, a joyful preparation. Repentance, just to speak about that a little bit today in the first part of our program, repentance is not something static, like I did this, I did that, I did this so many times, and by the way, I've been repeating it all my life, and it's just one more time, and blah, 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 you know, all those things that we get into. But repentance is, to me, a state of mind that I'm aware of myself. You know, when we only go into confession to confess things I have done, I may not be aware of the root of why I do them. So repentance, true repentance, and what John was proclaiming, in order to be able to embrace and welcome the Word of God in his birth in Bethlehem, of course, at this time, but also for us every day, I have to repent, which means I have to become aware of myself. What is it in me that would not allow me to see the beauty and the demands of the Word of God in my life? And so it's not something static of just this sin, that sin, etc. It is, but I mean, I'm trying to get down to the root of it, that I have to be aware of myself in my heart. So it's really a preparation of the heart. And when a person is preparing their heart, they become self-aware. Aware, first of all, that they are loved by God. Mm-hmm. And that every sin is an offense against this love. That we are in a love relationship with our Creator, with the one who has created us and has called us forth, has redeemed us in Jesus Christ, whose Holy Spirit is in us, that the Lord is present in us. And if we're not aware of that, through our own repentance of our sinfulness, then we'll never be able to really comprehend and receive the Word of God as it's meant to be. It's not there just to he comes to us, the Word of God, the sacraments are not just to get us through the day. They are they're all graces of God that help us reform our lives and at the roots and bring us to this life with God so that we can be pleasing to Him in this life, but also spread that same love to those who we see are in difficulties themselves. So it's this time of preparation, which to me in Advent means to really go to the depth of our being, of who are we, and are we a welcoming people, first of all, to God, to the Word of God, to the child that Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. So in that preparation, it's the repentance, because you talked about dressing in purple for Advent and in Lent. And in both of those times, we are encouraged to go to confession, to go to some of the reconciliation services to prepare ourselves.
And not only during that time.
Exactly.
I think that's the point. Yeah, we do sometimes limit it to those two times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't need to be in there every day either. Because when you go every day, you're not really trying to get serious. Well, I shouldn't say it that way, but really not getting down to the depth of what is my cause, the mm-hmm. cause of my sin, or cause of my selfishness, the cause of my grief, the cause of my attachments to something or someone. What's causing all of that? And if it's something that's part of me that I can reform and ask for God's grace, then I certainly can repent and go to confession, etc. But we really need to take the whole idea of repentance as something much deeper. And the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, is there as God's grace to receive that person who is really sorry and who really wants to not do it again, who really wants a reform of their life. So that it not become habit in the mm-hmm. sense that I'm not looking at myself at a deeper level. I'm not looking at God as who God really is. But I hope I'm not confusing people. But it's a time to really understand God's mercy that's always there for us. And as we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, we come with a true desire to repent, reform, change ourselves with God's help, and prepare to meet the Lord and to receive His word.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Federation of Guadalupanas invite you to join the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi for the annual procession from Sacred Heart Church, corner of North Alameda and Lepan, to Corpus Christi Cathedral on Wednesday, December 12th, to celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas. Marchers should gather at Sacred Heart Church at 5 p.m. Following the procession, Bishop Michael Mulvey will preside at Holy Mass at 6 p.m. at the Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway. A reception will follow in St. Joseph Hall beneath the cathedral. For shut-ins and others unable to attend in person, live video of the Mass will be available at goccn.org. Podcast downloads will be available later by clicking Multimedia Archive at the same website. This presentation partially underwritten by the Federation of Guadalupanas. For more information, contact President Nilda Reyes at 918-798-2498.
Welcome to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, during the break, you were sharing a story with me that you're going to share with our listeners.
Yes, the last couple of weekends ago, I was telling it in all of the homilies I gave, so some of you may have heard it before, but it still has been a very powerful experience for me. It's very simple and in some ways humorous, but it had a very profound message for me. And that is that as I was returning from the bishop's meeting in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, it was a heavy meeting, as many of you know, and talking about all the crises in the church and the difficulties that we're facing and the people that are hurting because of our mistakes. And so it was a very heavy time. So when I got to the airport in Washington, I was sitting in the lounge waiting, you know, as people are gathering around the gate to leave. And a lot of, I would say, business people, professional, and you don't know who they are. They might be doctors. There might be a senator or two or representatives or, you know, very professional people. But there was a little family there, and they had two little children. One child was about 1 year old, and you know what that means. That's crying, laughing, crying, laughing, screaming, you know, everything. And mom was doing a great job, but trying to keep her entertained, but very wiggly. The little three-year-old boy was running around in and out of the chairs in the area, laughing, and some people kind of looking over their glasses from their iPads and computers and watching him, and his dad's, you know, right behind him and chasing him and trying to get the energy out before they get on the airplane. And then the attendant at the gate called for any family with children under three to please, you may board now. So they came back to their seats and were gathering up all their things and the push buggies and all these things and getting it ready. And by this time, you know, groups 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 were just standing around. And so it was getting kind of crowded. So the family starts walking through this sea of people. And the little boy turned around and he just shouted out, "Goodbye, everyone."
Oh, how cute.
And the whole place just kind of broke up laughing. And people started talking. And, you know, I chuckled too. It was cute. And I, on the way home, and ever since then, I've been thinking, what did that say to me? And this is where, my friends, you know, God speaks to us in so many ways if we're just open and are aware and try to match what's happening in life to the Word of God, to the truth that Jesus has given us. And as I was on the plane coming home, I just thought of two things. I thought, let the children come to me. The real gift that a child can be in the life of a family. And, of course, thinking of Christmas coming, the gift of the child Jesus, who was the Word of God, who's the truth of God, who came to reconcile us, who gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. But it all came from a child.
Right.
The preciousness of a child. And the second thing was a little more demanding that I thought of, and that is when Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like a child, you will not understand. And so when we're looking at today the role of John the Baptist, the role of the church, the true role of the church, it's helping us straighten out the paths to fill in the valleys, the gaps of our life that we have created, to bring down the mountains of our pride. And I think that child did that. You know, I'm not saying people in that area of waiting for the plane were proud, but I'm sure all of us, I know all of us have a bit of it or a lot of it in some cases, but to bring all that down. And a child did that.
Right.
He just got everybody kind of giggling, and some of them began talking to each other, which they were not before.
Because everyone had their devices and their heads
were down.
Right.
Everybody was, you know, locked into their own little world there. But it was a moment in which, to me, the gospel was just yelling out, you know, unless you become like a child who had no inhibitions, who was aware of himself as a child, and just said goodbye, everybody. And it brought people together. And I do think that kind of simplicity of heart is what the Lord is calling all of us today. We are in a world that is fractured, that is constantly fighting against each other, whether it is the battle of thoughts, of ideologies, of war, physical violence, the breakdown of families, the abuse of young children. All of this is because we have become something that we're not meant to be through our own sins, our own pride. And a child can teach us what it means to be simple. You know, what it means to be simple, to be friends with each other, to smile at each other, to rejoice with and for each other. This, to me, is the preparation. And if you look at the gospel of Jesus, it brings all of this force into our life. And that's why Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. Your ideas will be gone. Your ideologies will be, you know, sent up into the clouds. Mm-hmm. But my words will not pass. And Jesus, the child Jesus in Bethlehem, is the word of God bringing us this flood of truth and life and love to give us the true meaning of life for ourselves and for those around us. But it has to be received by preparation, to not live a life of self-aggrandizement, to live according to our ideologies, to build up a world, but to have faith. This is what's lacking so much today. I know that, you know, so many of us hear the word of God every day, particularly every Sunday. And I just want to ask myself and all of us, what effect does it have on me? It's meant to prepare the way. It's meant to bring me, bring all of us to where we should be at that moment, at this moment in life and in the world's history and church's history. So let's really open our hearts to the Word of God, to the presence of God in the church, in our faith communities, to prepare ourselves in this way in the heart, to reform our lives and make the road of Christ into our hearts smoother.
And hearing you say that, Bishop, I think that for me personally, and maybe for some of our listeners, it's slowing down. And if we catch ourselves doing something that is not childlike or that is too much pride or all about me, we need to stop ourselves and question it.
Well, this is the repentance,
And go into another direction.
Yeah, that's, you know, we find that, and it's just we should laugh at ourselves, you know.
Right, right.
You know, I think repentance is partly laughing at ourselves, mm-hmm. our folly, and how we can get into these things. We don't laugh at our sins, of course, right. But that we have allowed ourselves from the gift that we've been given to from the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the love of God and the sacrifice that Jesus won for us and the resurrection, all these things that are such enormous gifts to us. I mean, they're internal gifts. And yet we still get into our little petty things, you know, which are really originated in our own selfishness. So laugh at that part, not at the sins, but we laugh at the folly of ourselves and repent, reform, change our hearts, move forward, ask for forgiveness, go to confession, and really move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world needs us. It needs faith in order to reform our world, to change our church. It needs people's faith. We need to gather together and be people of hope. Mm-hmm. And this is also, beyond a doubt, a season of hope.
Yes, yes. Well, if I could, I wanted to talk about, go back to John the Baptist.
Oh, yes, John the Baptist.
Again, no, because we were, you know, I mean, as you say, he's, you know, make the road straight for our Lord. But in the Advent Magnificat again for this Sunday, they said, you know, why is John the Baptist more memorable? The answer is simple. And, you know, you've alluded to this, Bishop. God gave the word to John, and John gave his voice to the word. John lived and died in union with the word of God. Mm-hmm. So it said the most significant people in history are not those with the most temporal power. Their influence always passes, their names more or less forgotten. In contrast, the eternal word of God stands forever. It is always memorable. The legacy of John the Baptist stands as a powerful reminder that those who give voice to the word are never forgotten.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I think just hearing you read that and you know, you can think that the church, one of the things that the beauty of the church that I love so much is the communion of saints. Mm-hmm. And it's the church, it's the body of Christ that keeps their memory alive. Not that they're there certainly to assist us as brothers and sisters through their prayer and interceding for us in the sense that they're asking God to pray for us. But they're also examples, huge examples. And you look at John the Baptist and what he did in reference to the Word, because all saints are saints because they were at service to the Word of God in the sense of Jesus Christ. They were all disciples of Jesus Christ. You look at Mother Teresa, you look at St. Augustine, and it's the church that keeps them alive, their memory alive, their example alive. Mm-hmm. And so as we're preparing ourselves for the birth of the Lord, and as I've said a couple times, for his second coming, we can use the example of the saints. It's not temporal power. Temporal power we need. We need to have governments. We need, but they need to serve the people and not, you know, themselves or the institution. And not to belittle anything, but do you remember the Secretary of State for the U.S. in 1944?
No.
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 It's somewhere written in a book somewhere, and
I'm sure I learned
that
it in history.
Person for their service, absolutely. But, you know, it's that gift of themselves to assist of a saint to give life to so many people over time, and they've given us example, and they continue to pray for us. So I think what was written there is certainly true, and John the Baptist is kind of center stage here again mm-hmm. today, calling us all to that reform of life, the change of our hearts to receive the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.